Parshat of Shavua, Tuesday, the 4th of January. I didn't expect nearly so many people tonight, but I guess because it's so nice and warm on the indoors that we've relocated here. Want to... the Seder is divided into two halves. First half is, if you like, first half and the last bit is a narrative, talking about the last three plagues and Yitziat Mitzrayim, the actual exodus from Mitzrayim. In the middle, we've got a whole chunk of mitzvot. We're not very used to mitzvot yet in Chumash. Sefer Bereshit is almost all entirely narrative. Sefer Shemot moves over to mitzvot, and in Parashat Bo we have 20 new mitzvot, most of which, almost all of which, are to do with the Korban Pesach or with the mitzvot of Pesach. What I want to do is just focus really on the first of the mitzvot, and we'll look at that in just a moment. I see there are a few new faces here, so welcome to you, and it's a not supposed to be a monotone or a monologue this year, so please interject with thoughts, observations, questions and criticisms in that order. So if I can pass out, not pass out, if I can distribute these. Probably two between three. That was, or something of that nature. Everybody got access? Everybody got access to the spare one?
Yeah.
Spare one, okay. So what I want to do is want to look at the beginning of chapter 12. And chapter 12 deals with all the mitzvot to do with the Korban Pesach, to do with chametz, matzah, etc. But it's introduced by Yomer Adonai Moshe Vel Aaron Be'eretz Yisrael Le'emor. Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This month shall be for you Rosh Chodashim, the head of the month. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. It's the first for you of the months of the year. And what I really want to focus on entirely is Pasuk Beit. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This month is for you the first of months. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. It's the first to the months of the year. And this is the first mitzvah that is given to Am Yisrael as a nation. We've got three mitzvot in Sefer Bereshit. We've got the mitzvah of Priyat Rivya, of procreation. We've got the mitzvah of Gid Hanasher. And we've got the mitzvah of Eveh Min HaChai, not eating a limb from a living animal. Other than that, we've got no mitzvah. Sorry, we've got the mitzvah of Milah. That's so take out Eveh Min HaChai. We've got the mitzvah of Brit Milah. We've got three mitzvot there in Sefer Bereshit. That's it. So now, but those were given to individuals, to Adam HaRishon, to Avraham Avinu, to Yaakov, to pass on to their descendants. But essentially they were given to individuals. Now we've got for the first time mitzvot given to a people. Now this first mitzvah is HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. I'm going to ask you to ignore previous knowledge. That's always an important thing to do. Pretend you know nothing. And what is the mitzvah in HaKodesh? If we just take the words HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, this month is for you the first of months. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. It's the first of the months of the year. Can you tell me A, what the problems are in the verse, and B, what the mitzvot are in the verse? We're in here today.
Okay.
Any problems in the verse? Appears to be repetition. We can have two people say that. Is it clear if I think we're told this is a command? What is the command? What is the mitzvah? What does the mitzvah involve? What when does one have to say him and the Yuchan and Suman Akayim mitzvah? HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. How does one fulfill this mitzvah? Okay, that's what it says. Sorry?
To mark the fact that this is the first one.
How?
Linked calendar of some sort.
Very, very suitable for the first Tuesday of January. Which we'll come on to. Any further thoughts? So it's enigmatic. Okay, it's tricky. It's not quite clear to us what the mitzvah is here. So that's the first challenge that we've got to deal with. We've also got to deal with Ed's challenge, which is that there seems to be repetition. So let's start by looking at Rashi. Rashi tells us as follows. He quotes the Mechilta. The Mechilta is a Midrash Halacha. Herehu levana b'chidusha. So it says HaKodesh Hazeh, this month. Okay, so the this, midrashically at least, implies something specific, something tangible. Herehu levana b'chidusha. So the tradition is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a slither of the moon. Va'amar lo, and said to him, Kishahayarech mitchadesh, when the moon renews itself, Yelecha Rosh Chodesh, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh for you. So it seems, at least from a midrashic perspective, the implication of this verse is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This is the definition for you of the beginning of a month. When you see the moon like this, it's the beginning of the month. Ve'ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. But Rashi recognizes that that's not the pshat. That's not the straightforward understanding of the verse. And the straightforward understanding of the verse is Al Chodesh Nisan Amar Lozeh, that he said this to Moshe Rabbeinu about the month of Nisan. This will be the first of the order of months of the year. Sheyehei Iyar Karu Sheinei Sivan Shlishi. So that Iyar will be the second month, Sivan will be the third month, etc., etc., so that we should know how to count the months of the year. So Rashi's saying, from a midrashic perspective, it's telling us about Rosh Chodesh, how we define the beginning of a month, and from a pshat perspective, it's telling us that there's a mitzvah to have Nisan as the first in our, when we're listing the months, we start listing them from Nisan, and rather than from any other month. What we're going to see during the course of the shiur then is actually there are two aspects to this mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, and the two aspects are, as Rashi said them, number one is the aspect of Kiddush HaChodesh, and the second aspect is the aspect of Minyan HaChodashim. And what I want to do, and that in itself actually answers Ed's question, that we've now understand what the repetition is. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This is going to define for you what Rosh Chodesh is. Kiddush HaChodesh, how do we define the beginning of a Jewish month? And then Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh HaShana, the notion of a series of months. So those are two parts of the mitzvah. Anybody who's learnt, for example, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, will have a question on Rashi. If you've learnt, a large part of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the third perek, deals with the dinim of Kiddush HaChodesh. You might recall, some people might recall from the Mishnayot or from the Gemara, all the, you know, does the moon look like this? Did it look like that? Rabban Gamliel had charts on his walls, and if the Aedim came at this time, the Aedim came at that time. All sorts of details about how we know when it's Rosh Chodesh. Okay? That is how Halakha is codified. So it's interesting, I think, in this Rashi, okay, that what Rashi is defining as the Drash is actually what we take as the Halakha. And who can tell me where in Shas or Shulchan Aruch is the din about Minyan HaChodashim that you start from Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz? Which Masechet does it come up in? Right, but it's not really saying more specific. It's not giving in great detail, you know, Seder HaChodashim, the notion.
This one is Nisan.
Right. Right, Nisan is one of the Rashi Shana, but it doesn't mention it, unless I'm mistaken. I don't think it mentions Lachodashim, but we ought to check.
Oh, it doesn't in the Gemara. So when there's the debate about whether the world was created in...
Yeah, okay, that's the Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. I always hated when we started recording these shiurim, and then all sorts of errors become recorded for posterity.
That's hopefully they'll supersede digital technology soon and it'll all be obsolete. Yeah, it doesn't mention anywhere that the minyan chadashim. There's a brighter in the Gemara. Would need to check that. Okay, so that's an interesting question. But I think it's less halachic. Well, we'll have to check the brighter afterwards. But I think I think what Rashi has as being the pshat is actually less codified than what he has as being the drash. Okay, so the first question really want to ask is, what's the significance of Rashi Chodashim? Why? We all know that the Hebrew calendar is not solely a solar calendar, but is essentially a lunar calendar which links in with the solar year as well. Why are we so fixated by the notion of the Chodashim? Why is Rosh Chodesh important to Am Yisrael? That's the question I want to ask. Alan?
It says throughout the Torah and lots of other places that the way we know when to commemorate other days in our calendar are that this, do this on the 10th of the month, do this on the 15th of the month. So without Rosh Chodesh, we would never be able to do any of those other things on the right day.
Yeah, so you want to say for practical reasons, so we need a calendar. Okay, there could be another way of having a calendar. You could simply have a calendar of 365 years, the days, and just number it, you know, from either the longest day of the year, the shortest day of the year, from the equinox, whatever you want to, you know, number it from. And on the 271st day of the year, then it'll be, you should keep Pesach, keep Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is. So you know how many shopping days are left. That's Jacob.
It's short and dark. Shabbat is every seventh day, that's automatic. You know, a year is every 265 days, that's also automatic. A month is the only unit of time where there's nothing specific to it. So by giving it a month, by giving, making it specifically a mitzvah to count the month, sort of guaranteeing your connection with Hashem at least once every month.
You've got the month and the year have something physical happening to them. You've got the moon for the month, and you've got, like Arosa said, the equinoxes for the sun. It's Shabbos, which is the one that has nothing, which is completely arbitrary, which has nothing attached to it.
Yes, that is one every 7 days. That's never changing. Rosh Chodesh is the only one specifically where Adim come and we actually make the month.
What you're saying is we want something in between weeks and years. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, no. I guess it's something that we actually do. We physically, it's a sort of time period that we keep, which mark our.
Okay, the question is, what's it marking? That's really the question that I'm trying to get to. Well, what I'm trying to get to is really, what's the significance of months? Let's look at Rabbeinu Bechaya for starters. V'darshu Rabotein Zal B'katuv Hazeh Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. So he's quoting a Medrash. Il Malei Lo Zachu Yisrael L'mitzvah Acheret El Alazu. Had the Jewish people only had this one mitzvah, Shemakablim Pnei Shechina Pam Achat B'Chodesh, that they are able to accept or greet the Divine Presence once a month, Dayan, that would be enough. Now, how do we know we've got this notion of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence with the new moon? So he's learning, the Medrash is going to learn out of Gezeirah Shavah. K'tiv HaChodesh HaZeh, so we've got the words HaChodesh HaZeh in this context. U'ktiv HaTam, Zeh Eli V'Anvehu. This is my God, and I will make him sort of spend it. So what the Medrash is doing is learning out of Gzeira Shava. We've got the word Zeh in both contexts. Zeh in the context of the Chodesh. Zeh in the context of the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Chodesh equals HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is, we can take it on face value. Okay, so when we see the new moon, that's encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I think we need to develop it a little bit further and ask in what way are we encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we encounter the new moon. So he has an answer to it. V'yadua ki kishayireh ha'adam ha'levana b'chidusha. Person sees the new moon. U'mavarech aleha, and he says, chidush levana. Hinehu me'id al chidush ha'olam. That's a way of testifying about the constant renewal of the world. Shehu ikar, or at least the renewal of the world. Shehu ikar ha'emuna. That's a key, a linchpin of Jewish belief. Umodeh al elahuto shel yotzeh bereishit, and it pays testimony to the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shechidesh haolam, who created the world. Kshem shemachadesh halavana b'chol chodesh v'chodesh, in the same way that the moon, I will say, appears to be recreated every month, because we're working on the assumption that the moon doesn't itself grow smaller or larger, but it looks like it's grown smaller or larger. So what's Rabbeinu Bechaya saying here? Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying this appearance of something seeming to be created, there's nothing in the sky one night, and the next night the moon is there, and it grows. So that's symbolic to us, that reminds us in some way of the creation of the world, just as the moon appears to being recreated. So that's a monthly reminder for us, a regular reminder for us, that the world was created as well. Once we remember that the world was created, and it wasn't just something that was always there or just happened, so then that's a reminder to us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this, I think, is what Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying. It's not that the moon per se is an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it's doing is it's motivating us to link up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way and to remember him as creator. Jacob's looking very worried.
I'm looking very perplexed. I don't really understand that. Because Shabbat is the death of my separation, and that's every week, it's even more regular.
So what's the difference between Shabbat and Chodesh? One is a physical reminder, and one is a... I'm tempted to use the word arbitrary. It's not arbitrary because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose it, but in terms of there's nothing physical planted in nature to remind us of Shabbat.
But it's also difficult as well, because when that particular aspect of renewal, there's many ways one could be reminded of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moon diminishing and then growing again. I mean, the idea of renewal and sustain the world is an important aspect, but it's not the only aspect or maybe the most important aspect
of
how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Correct. I think it's clearly an important the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as creator, I think, is a fundamental aspect, presumably.
This is strange, because it's not the world we see it is sustained as it is. Things don't, the earth doesn't collapse and renew itself every month.
Well, you're definitely right to pick up on the notion that I've noticed in the past that there's a distinct lack of attention paid to the fact that the moon wanes every month. A lot of emphasis is put on the fact that it grows, okay, and we don't pay too much attention to the fact that it wanes. There are few references to that, if I recall correctly. So we're focusing on the renewal of it. Now, I'm not sure if when he uses the term chidush halavana, whether he's talking about the renewal of the world or just the creation of the creation of the world. Is it relating to the notion that we have in Birchot Kriyat Shema, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates and recreates the world every single day? It might be, or it might just be referring to the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world once. Either way, we've got a relation there to creation. I think that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya is focusing on. Further medrash is Ba'olam ha'chodesh hazeh lachem. In this world, it's lachem. The medrash is concerned about the fact that it says ha'chodesh hazeh. Why doesn't it just say ha'chodesh hazeh rosh chodashim? Why is it lachem rosh chodashim? What's the specific? What's the so special about you? Ubiyor ha'inyan. What it means is shelachem hu. It specifically belongs to you, to Am Yisrael. Shetiyu monimbo. It's Am Yisrael that should count according to the according to the moon. Nafishi Yisrael monin la'olchana. It's the Jewish people who count the years according to the moon. V'nim sarah halavana Yisrael. And the moon specifically was given to Israel, as opposed to umos olam shiyim nuba, to use it to count. Lomar lacha. What's the message? The moon can be seen by day or night. Sometimes you see the moon in the morning. You don't usually see it at lunchtime, but you do see it during the day. It's, you know, one of the questions, you know, you can't say Kiddush Levana in the day. You have to say Kiddush Levana at night. Kach Yisrael ba'olam hazeh uva olam haba. So that's akin to Am Yisrael, who are both in this world and in the world to come. V'zaro shel Esav. But umot ha'olam monin lechama, they count that they only have solar years. Shehu ha'maor ha'gadol, and that's the main luminary. But that's only present during the day and not during the night. There's lots more. We could ask lots of questions on that interpretation of the medrash. We can say, because of course the moon derives its light from the sun, so that's that would be a whole discussion in its own right. But nevertheless, what Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying is that the moon, the fact that it's present day and night, is a special symbol for Am Yisrael there. So essentially what I wanted to understand from Rabbeinu Bechaya is this notion that he's got of the moon being important for us because it's a symbol of creation, recreation, recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly created the world, and also the notion of recreation of the world. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, who wrote this when he was Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, has a different interpretation that is worth bearing in mind. Miriam, do you want to read through for us?
It is not to be the conjunction of the moon with the sun, not the moon receiving the rays of illumination afresh, that is to induce the beginnings of our months. It is not that to which our celebration of the new moon is to be dedicated. But each time the moon finds the sun again, each time it receives its rays of light afresh, God wants his people to find him again, and to be illuminated with fresh rays of his light. Wherever and however, and running their course, they have had to pass through periods of darkness and obscurity. The moon, finding itself in conjunction with the sun, is only to be a model for our finding ourselves again with God. The rejuvenation of the moon, a picture of and an incentive to our own rejuvenation. So the Jewish consecration of the new moon is an institution for periodical, fresh, spiritual and moral rejuvenation of Israel, of finding itself again in conjunction with its God.
So as ever, rather wordy. Anybody want to attempt at summing up what he's attempted to say there?
That the moon finds the light of the sun again, and when that happens, we should be reminded that we should look for our inspiration from Hashem again.
Exactly. Okay, and to say, let's go on to the next paragraph. Alan, do you want to just read the next paragraph for us?
So Chodesh proclaims salvation from sin and evil, and this is why this institution stands at the commencement of the building up of our nation. The truth which it teaches forms the foundation stone of our Jewishness, and it is this which differentiates it most sharply from all paganism. The heathen knows no chiddush, not in the world, not in humanity, not in his gods, not in the powers he places above men and the world. To him everything is bound by cast iron necessity. To him all days are evolved from yesterdays, and every Torah must with absolute certainty follow from today. Just as he denies the free creation by the free will of a creator, so for him there is also no yesh me'ayin in the moral nature of man. Guilt and evil must forever beget only guilt and evil.
Okay. So what's he saying there? He's continuing from his first comments. I thought about it long and hard to get to the bottom of what he's saying. But I think he's making a very profound observation. It's sort of useful for us that Rosh Chodesh is later this week. But the point he's making is that the fact that everything starts again regularly is teaching us a message there's always that opportunity to start again. There's always that possibility for going back to the drawing board and having a new chance. Every month you've got that. And that's what, it's not a worship of the moon in any sense, Rosh Chodesh. We're not really interested in the moon. We're interested in what lessons we can derive from it. Just as the moon has that opportunity to grow again, we have that opportunity to grow again. And he's saying this is a critical notion of Judaism. He's comparing it to paganism, where he says that paganism, everything is that inevitable. That's just the way it's got to be. Whereas with Judaism, we know that we've got that opportunity of shifting direction and having that fixed up. And that's really what Rosh Chodesh, what Rosh Chodesh is about each month. That opportunity for a new start. You've got the Chaparat Pasha, to wipe out the sins of the previous month and to start again afresh. And that's why Rav Shamshon Farley says it's coming right at the very beginning, because this is a key notion in Jewish belief that you can always start afresh.
I'm kind of touching back on the point we raised before. Well, why do you need that to be ready for Shabbat?
I think Shabbat commemorates two things. It commemorates HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world, and it commemorates HaKadosh Baruch Hu resting. But this is different. This is focusing on the notion of, certainly the way Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch is explaining it, is it's focusing on the notion of our recreation, our having that opportunity to start afresh. I don't think that's implied in Shabbat at all. No, Shabbat is reminds us
Shiva, in not just I stand there from when I return, but in a different way. The Shiva connected to God, and
so Shabbat's an opportunity. You're right. Shabbat's an opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a chance to commemorate Maaseh Bereishit. I don't think it's communicating to us the notion of renewal. I think that's what Rosh Chodesh is creating.
I always think of it as
well. Maybe you're thinking of when Shabbat Rosh Chodesh fall together. That's you're a two Sifrei Torah man. I think that Rosh Chodesh is more the notion of renewal, Chidush, and Shabbat is more, much more passive, I think. So I don't know your name.
Leora. If you're saying in terms of renewal, how does the sentence that he writes to him, all days are evolved from yesterday's, and every tomorrow must with absolute certainty follow from today, doesn't that contradict it? Because it means it's not
certainly very poetic. To him all days are evolved from yesterday's, and every tomorrow must with absolute certainty follow from today. Now I think all he's saying there is that it's just one long continuum, that there's every day's pretty much the same. It's, unless you've got the notion of renewal, today is no different, no more significant, no less significant than yesterday.
Right.
It's just what happened yesterday is happening today and will happen tomorrow. Inevitability.
Okay.
I think that's what he's, what he says Rosh Chodesh is fighting against, the notion of inevitability. We don't believe in inevitability. We believe there's a chance to start afresh. I think that's a very deep idea that he's got there. Let's move on now to the second question, which is, if we've understood HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh, in the notion of Rosh Chodesh, and why it's important to have a month, either as an opportunity to just ponder on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as creator, or as Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch explains it, for us to ponder on ourselves and the notion of renewal for ourselves, we still need to know what the requirements are and what the significance is of HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem. That's a Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh HaShana. And there is a classic Ramban on this. This is the Ramban on Chumash, but the Ramban also in his Drasha for Rosh Hashanah says something very similar. V'tama chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodesh. So what's it all about? Sheyimnu oto Yisrael chodesh harishon, as Rashi says, that Nisan should be the first month, and v'menu yimnu kol hachodashim, and from then you carry on counting all the months, sheyimnu yishlishi, etc., ad tashlum hashanah, till the end of the year, b'shnei matzah chodesh, and you've got 12 months. So we should have a continual reminder of the great miracle of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Ki b'chol eit shin afkir ha-chodashim, whenever we remember the months, yeah, ha-nes nizkar, then we'll always remember the miracle of Yitziat Mitzrayim. So essentially what he's saying is, its purpose is that we should always be counting from Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's true, somebody pointed out just before, there's a machlokes in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah as to whether or not the world was created in Nisan or whether it was created in Tishrei, and that indeed is the way the Rashbam understands. It says that the simplest way is to understand that this is a support for the opinion that the world was created in Nisan, but even if we hold the world was created in Tishrei, we're going to which is how the Ramban understands it, we're going to count the months from Nisan to remind us of Yitziat Mitzrayim. You're always counting from something significant. Ela your and okay, Ein La Chodashim Shem BaTorah. The names of the months don't have any names in the Torah. Ela your Ma BaChodesh HaShlishi. Rather, instead, one should say in the third month. It says in the third month, "Va'omer va'hibah shana shni va'chodesh hashini va'chodesh hashvii v'chein kulam." It always mentions the months by a numeral rather than by name. Uchmoshet yahaz chira b'yom haShabbat, and it's comparable to the way we count the days of the week for Shabbat. V'mamonotenu mimenu echad b'Shabbat v'sheni b'Shabbat. There's no names for the days of the week in Hebrew. There's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or anything like that. It's all Yom HaRishon, Yom HaSheni, etc., etc. It's days relating to Shabbat. Kasher HaFarish, which we'll explain in detail later. Kachas Chira B'Tziyat Mitzrayim. So the same way we remember Tziyat Mitzrayim, B'Mamonotenu, HaChodesh HaRishon, HaChodesh HaSheni, V'Hashlishi, L'Geulatenu. The same way we count the various months of the year, counting back to the to Yitziat Mitzrayim. She'en ha-minyan hazeh l'shana. We're not, this isn't relating to a year in particular. Shai t'chilat shenotenu mitishrei. We know the years start in Tishrei. Dichtiv v'chag ha-sif t'kufat ha-shana. Because we know that the festival of the ingathering, Sukkot, is at the very end of the year. Uchtiv b'tseit ha-shana, when the last year has left. So the fact that Nisan is the first and Tishrei is the seventh, Pitrono, all it means is Rishon Nigula Ushvi Elaha, the first month counting from the redemption, the seventh month from it. So it's not as, you know, in Cheder, primary school, whatever, we all got confused by the fact that the year starts in Tishrei, but we count the months from Nisan, and how can it be? It's just you're counting in a different way. It's not the first month of 5771. That's not what we're counting. It's the year 5771, and it's month number X in the way that we count the months. But we're not. It's not the fifth month of 5771. V'zeu tam rishon hu lachem. This is why it says rishon hu lachem she'inenu rishon bashana. It's lachem. Again, worrying about this lachem, it's your first month, not the first month of the year. Avar rishon hu lachem, shenikra lo lezikaron gulateinu, that we should use it to remind us of the redemption from Egypt. So according to the Ramban, this is a very important notion, the notion of counting the months according to Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that's what it's supposed to remind us of. So we're talking about in the seventh month, immediately we recall that Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's giving chashivut to Yitziat Mitzrayim rather than to anything else. The Chatam Sofer actually points out that this is, as far as the Ramban is concerned, this is a mitzvah asay. This is a positive mitzvah. The way that you should count the months is there's mitzvah asay to count. Nisan is the first month. He has the second month, etc., etc. And there are the Achronim discuss this a bit. There's a tshuva of Rav Ovadia Yosef where he discusses it, and he points out that it's problematic. You know, if you're writing a check or something, to write 4/1/11, okay, you're being mafatel and asay because the mitzvah is Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Okay, this month is the Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh Hashanah. This month that you have to count for from Nisan, Nisan is the only month you're allowed to regard as the first month. You can't regard any other month as the first month. So he says that there's a big problem to write, if anybody wrote a check today, it's a problem on computers. You can't, on a checkbook, you can write 4th of January. When you've got to fill in something where you've got, you know, exact, you know, apply for a driving license or something like that, you know, they haven't got space for January, they've got just 01 or something like that. You're looking worried about that.
Aside from being worried about writing checks, I'm wondering how, in what way is that an
assay? The assay is, HaKodesh HaZelachem.
All we have, in terms of a concrete example, of you saying how you could be Mabatel and Assay, but surely for an assay, we need a positive way that you can be Makayim that assay.
Nisan,
are we supposed to observe Nisan being the first one? How can we positively?
But whenever you count the months, you count from there. You say that it's my birthday is on your birthday is in Av, right?
Elul.
No, your birthday is in the sixth. Your birthday is on the fifth of the sixth month.
That's a mitzvah to tell someone that.
Yeah, being Mekayim a mitzvah.
Then why do we give them names at all? Why don't we call them first month, second month?
Oh, so the Ramban's going to come on to that in just a moment. So anyhow, Rav Avadia Yosef is very unhappy. He says you should write, you know, 4th of January, 4 Yanuar, if you need to do it that way. Since Eliezer's got a Jew, he says that's not going to help you either, because the names of the months are after Avodah Zarah in general. So the days of the week as well. So sorry? We'll come on to that in just a moment. So clearly better to write all your checks according to Hebrew months. That's send a copy of the Ramban in to the bank manager. That's so the Ramban goes on and addresses Miriam's question, and he says, how is it, where do we get the names of our months from? We don't need to look at the Ramban inside. He says, well, they came from Bavel. They were the names used in Galut Bavel, and now we use them to remind us of Galut Bavel and the fact that we haven't yet been fully redeemed. We're still in exile. So you're laughing. So I'm always cautious about laughing at the Ramban. That's a very good point. And beyond that, Rav Meidan, one of the Rosh Yeshivat Yeshivat Haaretz Tzion, he points out that these are the names that we use in Galut Bavel. We're not still in Galut Bavel. It's true that we haven't been fully redeemed, but we're not really in Galut Bavel. It's like taking we can't let go of the names from Galut Bavel. And the shiur that he gave, you know, the way that he formulated, it's like saying that you go on Aliyah, but you live in a place called Ramat Polin, you know, or Bate Umva. You know, it's you keep the name of I think he was having a dig at certain sectors of Israeli society, the Moshavah HaGermanit, whatever you want it to be. That's in the sense that you come, but you want to hold on to your Galut mentality in some way, and therefore he's actually says the way he dates letters, whether it's to other Rosh Yeshiva, whether it's to academics, whether it's to lawyers, whatever it is, he dates it, the years dating back from Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and the months according to Nisan being the first.
It's a desire to the Gemara. Because the Gemara, Dafka says, Nisan, he measures the month, so it's good enough for the time now we're at, it's not good enough for us. Isn't that problematic?
Maybe, yes.
Well, it's okay, they were living in Babel.
No, but they were back there. That's
if he dates it from his Christian tribe,
yeah,
which no one uses,
yeah.
I mean,
it causes headaches. Do you see him office when the bank phones them?
Probably.
Let's just tell me that they've always
sent you issue messages. Yeah, it is strange to use a calendrical system that nobody else in the world seems to use yet. He's hoping that it will catch on. That's you can find his shear on the VBM, and do send out invitations to your birthday party with that with that dating system on it, and you'll be sure that nobody will No, nobody will show up. That's also, you know, the question about, you know, it strikes me as being a bit pusnished, at least, that, you know, the way we count our years and, you know, put dates on everything is, you know, according to, you know, the Christian calendar with all its implications, but that's the way it is. Okay, so in any event, what the Ramban is very keen on is the notion that we can, given this mitzvah of counting the months from Nisan, to constantly remind us or constantly refer us back. I don't know if it's necessary that you always have to have in your mind that this is, yes, it's the fifth month from Nisan, which was the time of Gulat Mitzrayim, but certainly it's giving you a lot of chashivut to Yitziat Mitzrayim, and certainly it's making Yitziat Mitzrayim the focal point of our lives in that way. Let's look at the Netziv, who has a further observation about this concept of Lachem. Rishon hu Lachem, Leminyan, the way you count, Kamashma'o, that's what it seems to imply. The Diyek Lachem, and the point of saying Lachem is Lishra'al v'lolu motolam. Jews count from Nisan and not other nations. Why does Am Yisrael have to count from Nisan? The man yedu adam Yisrael, so that Jewish people will know, ki haikar hu tzurato hamiuchedet, so that we know that really what measures our lives is what's unique about Am Yisrael, v'lo tzura ha'enoshit shebechol adam, and not the natural order which applies to the rest of the world. So much more shall be cried to Lachem Lachon Yisrael. That's the implication of the expression Lachem. Now, Rav Shemshon of Hirsch will say that, I think, in a slightly different way. But what the Netziv is saying is that Nisan, Yitziat Mitzrayim, that's when Am Yisrael found themselves Lamala Min HaTeva. They found themselves in a supernatural state, in terms of they weren't bound by nature any longer, and supernatural things were happening to Am Yisrael. That was Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that, whereas Tishrei, which is when the world was created, reflects much more the natural state of events. And therefore, by Jewish people looking at their calendar, at least in certain respects, as starting in Nisan, at least in the way that we count the months, what it's communicating to us is that our focus is on what could be, if you like, you know, the limitless possibilities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha, as opposed to being tied down and being restrained and confined to what nature has in store for us. And that's the symbolism of Rishon Hu Lachem. And Rav Shamsher Rafael Hirsch says it in a slightly different way. Michael, do you want to read it through for us?
This way. We get two beginnings of the year, just as we know of two beginnings of the day. We have a year which begins with the autumn, and although it knows spring and summer, it ends again in autumn. We have a year which begins. Wait, ends in spring again. Similarly, we have a day which begins at night, and although it rises to morning and midday, it ends again with night, and we have.
No, there was no over there. You were reading it right. There's no typo.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I mean, we have a day that begins with morning, and though it sinks to even night, ends again with a fresh morn. Outside the Mikdash, the day begins and ends with night. Within the Mikdash, the day begins and ends with morn. The year of the earth, its products as well as all associations and dealings with all the goods of the earth are reckoned from autumn to autumn. Israel's years, the years of its festivals and princes count from spring to spring. Here we have exaltation on our double nature, worked into the logbook of our lives. Everything pertaining to the earth is born there and without blossom out of night, and even though it rises to the brightness of midday and riches of blossom and fruit, sinks there and blossomness to the night of its grave. Everything holy and Jewish has its origin in life and light, and even though it has to meet and contend in running its course with night and death, out of darkness and death it struggles back to the light and life. And what was born out of morn and spring ends again at dawn, rejuvenated to a new spring.
Okay, so anybody want to sum that up in succinctly? Did anybody get what he was saying? Debbie? Yes. No? Okay.
That the way we work is a bit different to other forms?
Well, sort of. I think he's making the following observation. He's saying we're well used to the notion of different ways of measuring time and measuring the same units of time. He says, for example, with the day, there are two different ways of where we always think of, you know, in Judaism, when does the day start? When does the Jewish day start?
No.
At night. Okay? And ends at night. That's not entirely true, because in the Mikdash, then in many regards it starts at the day, daybreak, and ends the next morning. For example, with the eating of korbanot, a korban that can be eaten only on that day. You eat it, you can only offer up the korban from the morning, you can't offer up a korban at night, and it expires the following morning. So we're familiar, and of course we've got a difference between normal human life and the Mikdash. They're representing two different ideas. We don't need to go into those two ideas. Also, in terms of nature, we can say that there are two ways of measuring the year. You can measure the year from spring to spring, or from autumn to autumn. And what he's saying, in terms of physical things, we'll measure from autumn to autumn. Essentially, measuring from death to death. That's essentially what he's saying. It's a cycle which revolves around death. We come from nothingness, we come from darkness and nothing else, and that's how we end up. In terms of spirituality, we'll always look at it as being much more positive, in terms of something starting bright, and even though there are dark periods, ultimately we always hope it's going to be bright again. And that's the symbolism, he says, of the year working round, the spiritual year working round from Nisan, and the physical year working round from Tishrei. Miriam?
So then when you're bringing in Shabbat, and any day that always starts in darkness, and then the whole year as a whole might be different because it's starting from the spring, but each occasion when it comes arrives in darkness, then our day should also start with the morning.
Well, I think he's saying that it does in a certain context, in the most holy of contexts. Well, that might just be in terms of convention, in the sense that, you know, that's when you're starting your day in a normal sense. That's when you say your brachot, because people get up in the morning. The night is the hefsek. I think you could sort of deal with that one halachically rather than spiritually. That's not that the two are incompatible, but I'm a Kushnik. If you look at the most holy of contexts, which is Korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash, that's morning to morning. So just, you know, simply you'll say that anything else isn't isn't as holy as that. I think what he's saying here is that there are different ways of looking at the year for different purposes. In terms of the physical world, we'll look at it from Tishrei to Tishrei. In terms of the spiritual world, we'll look at it from Nisan to Nisan. They're different things that we're going to be searching for. The only question that we're left with, and that's dealt in some way by the Sfat Emet, though I don't think we'll look at the Sfat Emet inside, but we still haven't really addressed the question of why this should be the first mitzvah in the Torah for Am Yisrael. We've addressed the question of why we need a chodesh, why we need months, and we've addressed the question of why Nisan needs to be the first of the months. What we still haven't addressed is why this should come as the first mitzvah given to Am Yisrael as a nation. If we look at the parasha, it might make more sense to say you go through the whole of the mitzvot to do with the Yetziyah Mitzrayim, go through Yetziyah Mitzrayim. Then at the end of the sefer, we've got the various mitzvot which commemorate Yetziyah Mitzrayim, Tefillin, Pidyon Pesach Chamor, etc. And then finish off, you also mention, you know, and this month in which all these miracles have happened, this month should should be commemorated as the first month. That logically it might fit in a bit better there. Why is it why is it coming then as the first mitzvah that's given to Am Yisrael? What the Sfat HaEmet says is basically because Nisan is all about the fact that Am Yisrael defeated or rose above the natural order of events. Yetziyat Mitzrayim was something which could not have happened naturally, had to happen only supernaturally, and therefore that's a key starting point for Am Yisrael. When we're talking about mitzvot, and I saw a development of this somewhere else, but I couldn't put my finger on it where I'd seen it today. I saw it like yesterday or the day before. You know, the whole notion of the mitzvot that we do in terms of our covenant, B'nai Noach only have 7 mitzvot. And Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach are all very logical mitzvot. They are all mitzvot sikhliot. They all make a lot of sense because B'nai Noach are defined by the normal natural order of events. Am Yisrael have lots more mitzvot, many of which defy logic. But why is that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done with us, defies logic as well, and therefore the midah keneged midah, if you like, of that relationship is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us beyond logic, we have to treat him beyond logic as well, and that's what Nisan is all about. Nisan is the introduction to the Geula, the specialness of Am Yisrael. What's so special about Am Yisrael? The fact that we are supernatural rather than entirely natural. So we have not only Parashat Bo this week, as I said, Rosh Chodesh as well. So hopefully it will be a little bit more thought provoking for us also. That's next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, the same time, and either same place or in the bungalow.